Republican Party Chairman J.R. Romano. Good morning, J.R.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning to you too.
Boy, I like that. Good morning to you too.
He sounds like he's doing late night radio.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, good morning. We got a little Barry White.
You're doing a good job, though, I'll tell you. You're not afraid.
Got some Lou Rawls coming.
Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not afraid.
So listen, in the wake of the controversy in Bridgeport, with absentee ballots between Senator Marilyn Moore and Joe Ganim, you know, it's opened up a lot of questions, particularly for those really closely contended races where absentee ballots really determine the fate of the outcome. In fact, yours truly, I lost by 66 votes. And I was a two-term incumbent, very popular in the newspapers every week. And you know, it kind of baffled a lot of people when, of course, you know, and there could be any number of factors. And I don't really want to read into it too much. But it makes me scratch my head every now and then, particularly when we hear about, for myself, for example, when I ran in 2014, there was about 250 absentee ballots, between 250 and 300 in 2016. When I won that election as well, it was about the same number, about 300 absentee ballots. And then this last one was like, I don't know, it was like 600 or something like that. So I'm like, whoa, you know, that's crazy. Where'd that number come from? You know, so when you hear about what's going on in Bridgeport and the controversy that surrounds absentee ballots making or breaking the outcome, it really makes you ponder. Would you agree?
Well, I think it goes beyond that. I mean, the case in Bridgeport in 2019 is that there were more absentee ballots than there were actually votes at the polls, which is ridiculous, number one. But I just want to just take a pause for a second to understand and have your listeners kind of get a full scope of this. In the state of Connecticut, we have not gone one election cycle and not had some controversy in Bridgeport, New Haven, and Hartford.
It's true.
It's been a decade. We have not. I mean, it's an embarrassment. We are a state that, and you know, I'm not going to sit here and say it's intentional, but here's the problem. Denise Merrill in 2017 refused to work with federal authorities when they wanted to do, I don't know if you remember that, Donald Trump wanted to form that task force.
Yeah.
She said it was ridiculous. We don't need that, and refused to cooperate with feds. Now, in 2018, when I wanted to hire poll watchers and attorneys to go into the cities to monitor the election process, I was ridiculed. I was called out in the press. And here we are a year later. And this is the part that makes me laugh. Do you think one day with all this controversy, I want everyone to understand Marilyn Moore, the senator that's calling for the investigation, filing lawsuits, she's a 20-year Bridgeport Democrat. She's a sitting elected state senator. She knows how the system works. And what's happened here is the Democrats have popped open the hood. They're allowing us to see how their machine works. And what frustrates me is the media is more interested in what's happening in Washington, D.C. and the Ukraine. We have real fraud happening in our state in every election process. And our Democrat leaders are not paying attention. They don't care to protect the ballot. So which I called on federal authorities to come in, an independent arbiter, to review our entire process. Because between absentee ballots and same-day voter registration, we have real, real problems in this state. And Denise Merrill, and by the way, her Deputy Secretary of State, Scott Bates, should have resigned by now for the controversy that he created down in eastern Connecticut. I'm not even going to get into that one. But this is wrought with incompetence at this point when it comes to our election officials.
Yeah, you're talking about the Port Authority debacle with
Scott Bates was in charge. He was overpaying for art products for his family. Yep, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's raw. It's terrible.
Yeah, we had Len Fasano on talking about that about a couple of weeks ago. He talked about that entire the quasi publics and so on and so forth. But going back to the absentee ballots, I mean, you've got Marilyn Moore who actually had before the absentee ballots were counted had actually won. She
Correct.
Won the primary, and then when they counted the absentee ballots, to your point, there were more absentee ballots that were cast than people who walked up to the polls on primary day and voted in person.
And how does that happen? How does it continue to happen in Connecticut?
Well, Because whenever you question and say that there's an issue, Republicans or anyone that raises the question, we're called racist. We're told that we're trying to suppress the vote. I mean, it is one of the most discouraging things, because at the end of the day, do I think that 100,000 votes were cast illegally? No. But I tell you what, and Gary, you know this, we lost 22 state legislative races by less than 1%.
Yeah. Yeah.
When that is real impact. And as we know, based on the grocery tax, the bag tax, and all the other taxes, that now the turn in your used car tax, elections have consequences. And so we're demanding that Denise Merrill, and here's the other part that the media seemed to not cover. When this initially came up and the curiosity of those absentee ballots, Denise Merrill literally told the media, not her responsibility.
How? No. How can she do that? It falls under the purview of the Secretary of State.
Well, she's technically not wrong, but it was certainly within her power to request the SEC to do the investigation. But that's not what she did. What happened was, and I have to give him credit, Hearst Media decided to do a little investigation with their reporters and discovered some really, really controversial things. Then, at that point, the SEC and Denise Merrill, because they had no choice.
Yeah, they had pressure there, yeah.
They had pressure, and it was only because of the media did they not be sitting, and by the way, African-American sitting state senator saying that there's a fraud in it happening in Bridgeport. It's been going on for 20 years. No, we're not going to lift a finger then. Only when the media got involved, Denise Merrill literally did an about face and said, we're so happy the SEC is decided to investigate this. This is the problem in our state.
I find it interesting that Marilyn Moore actually kind of let the cat out of the bag about Bridgeport in elections.
Well, yeah, that's why I keep saying it's that she's popped the hood on the Democrat machine that everyone says the machine, you know, this grassroots. It's not. It's a group of people that go around. And by the way, you've had someone go to literally get charged with criminal activity in Stanford. We've had issues in Middletown. Bridgeport's not the only city or community that this is happening in.
No, but it's every election. I mean, you always hear about Bridgeport and their woes and troubles, you know, whether it's, staying open beyond the 8 o'clock hour or running out of ballots. It's always something in the town of Bridgeport, in the city of Bridgeport.
Well, what I find curious is we knew our election results by 9 o'clock on primary day, but, you know, any other election, it's 1, 2 o'clock in the morning until we hear from Bridgeport. That's the other thing that's very yeah. curious.
Right.
Say, would just like to add a couple of things. There are more people now than in quite a while that are starting to understand some of the things that we are all talking about. And I just feel if we keep on this particular story that we're going to get there. And this is what we have to do before we become who we truly are.
Oh no, I completely agree. I'm hoping that the FBI gets involved. I'm hoping that federal authorities turn their sights on, and frankly, the Democratic Party. This is not a unique situation. I think our entire electoral process should be reviewed. You know, we've had men and women die for the right for this republic to exist. And I hate to use this word, it's blasphemy, the way that the idea that elections can be stolen so easily.
Wow. But you know what? You've called for this in the past, and you said they've been ignored, right? It fell on deaf ears.
Well, I was ridiculed.
Well, yeah, exactly. You were ridiculed. So you'd like to bring in the feds to investigate this more, but you're being prohibited. You're being laughed at. So what's going to get them to come now when they wouldn't come out here in the past?
Well, what's funny, I got a call from the Hartford Courant about Ukraine, and I lost it. I lost it. I cannot believe that, and this is the whole premise of where Connecticut media is right now. Something happens federally. I get called and say, what's your opinion of this? And my problem is you have a major controversy going on in Bridgeport. Do you think they called Jim Himes or Chris Murphy or Denise Merrill or Ned Lamont to find out where they are on those issues? Of course not. No. What they tell me is that we've covered the Bridgeport issue. Yeah, but all you've done is reported that there's an issue. You haven't got any single Democrats on the record about, do they agree with Marilyn Moore, who's a 20-year Democrat activist and state senator? Or do they stand with Joe Ganim? The media's not asking those questions. The media's not asking Jim Himes, do you think it's odd that there was more ballots cast by AB than on the machines? No, they're not doing that. I mean, my favorite, Gary, you're going to laugh because I know you served in the legislature. I said something in the WTNH about a headline that they had over that used car, for those that are listening, and yeah. I'm not trying to change the subject, but you know when you trade in your car, there's a $100 fee?
Right.
And the headline was, Connecticut now charges fee, and I go, Democrats. Democrats are now charging you a fee, not Connecticut, because there isn't a single Republican that voted for this budget. There's a single Republican that voted for any of these increases. You need to correct your headline that says Democrats now charging you a fee to
but
turn
JR, in
your
car. Come on. You know the media is left-leaning to begin with. Come on.
Oh, I know, but I'm not giving up.
They're not going to do
keep
that.
I'm holding their feet to the fire.
They're not going to do that. You can hold their feet to the fire. Doesn't mean they're going to cave in.
True. But this is one of the very important reasons why I do my podcast. I come on the radio because I think people need to hear the other side of the story, what's really happening and what's not being covered versus what is being covered.
And by the way, these are a Democrat primary where the Republicans really have no dog in the fight, so to speak, you know, which yet they I don't know. It's frustrating. You know what it is? It's frustrating. It's the same cities all the time that can't get their act together, and no one is being held accountable.
Well, and that's the scary part. When Denise Merrill says it's not my responsibility,
then whose is it? The buck stops with her. She's the Secretary of State.
She publicly, you know, it's not really my responsibility to investigate, but she never called for an investigation either. And God knows she's unwilling to call for her own deputy to resign after all the controversy that he's the Port Authority controversy. You know, I am begging for listeners to talk to their friends and families that vote Democrat and help them in a very friendly way to understand the damage and dishonesty that is coming out of the Democratic Party. I'm not even going to get into, and Gary, I don't know if you know this or not, the Democrats have started sending emails out, claiming that they will not rest until they fix the grocery tax
that they voted. That they created.
They're not part out.
Are you serious?
JR, let me stop you right there. They can change it because they have, they can go in on Monday because October 1st is Tuesday. They have until the day that the law would take, would begin, which would be Tuesday, October 1st, go in on Monday. If they were really sincere about that, prove it. Go in and change the language
right away.
The Senate Democrats sent out, which all the senators, a canned email, all the senators sent the same one, literally slapping themselves on the back for resolving the grocery tax and solving the grocery tax issue, which everyone knows
it's
delusional. Like, I would love to be in that meeting to say, how do we get out of this one, right? What was that Democrat meeting like?
Yeah.
Hey, guys, we got caught. We got to figure this out.
They voted for it. I mean, they can point the finger at themselves. They're the ones that created it. They didn't read the budget. Go ahead.
Kevin Rennie runs a blog called Daily Runcions, and he called out, there's a Democrat out of Danbury that literally went on Facebook and says he's going to hold Ned Lamont accountable for this grocery tax. They voted for it. That's not in his rant.
That's right. Oh my goodness. Are you and if they really, and by the way, they're accepting the DRS commissioner's interpretation of that of the language. And I told somebody else who called in earlier in the week saying, yeah, for now. And as soon as after the first of the year, when the state realizes it's short and needs more revenue,
that's why the Democrats won't repeal it. 100%.
It's going to interpret it the original way that they said that they were going to interpret it, not the present one, not the one that they just changed it to, but not change it, of course, on paper, but in their interpretation.
This whole thing, this grocery tax is so disingenuous and dishonest. And that is how I think the general public is starting to see what Democrat leadership looks like in our state. And by the way, the people that are serving, I'm going to be very honest with you. I support the president. I just want to be very clear on that point. But these people got elected by talking about Washington, D.C. politics, not by their successes and how they're leading Connecticut. They basically threw a smoke screen out to anyone out there that wanted to vote on that. They voted in 2018 on pure emotion, not fact.
Yeah.
They voted in self-indulgence because they wanted to say, hey, I'm taking a stand against the president. Meanwhile, because of that self-indulgence and lack of understanding what was happening in the state of Connecticut, we have grocery tax, we have use. They're crushing the middle class.
Well,
and they
want
to pretend it's not their fault.
I'll tell you right now, there's no question in my mind that we are not doing what we should be doing continuously and not worry about what somebody's going to say. We know what's going on. And all we have to do is get it to the people, and the people will understand.
But the problem with that, Brad, is, and actually there's no problem with that, except the fact that a lot of the people just can't be bothered. They're involved in their lives or their kids' lives or their work, or they're not even, they haven't a clue. And they read the left-leaning papers, and they just look at headlines and listen to only the sound bites, they always say the devil's in the details, right?
Brad, here's why we'll hold out a little hope. This grocery tax, this bag tax, when you have people angrily storming out of a grocery store holding their groceries like they just robbed somebody, this is one of those things where a lot of times what Democrats like to do is they just attack things that we're not paying attention to. This impacted everybody, and they're mad.
Yeah. But you know what? Watch. They'll still vote them back in.
We'll see. Listen, in 2020, Chris Murphy won't have the, you know, we were outspent by $30 million.
Oh.
In 2008. Chris Murphy was paying for door knockers and doing all these things. He can't do that in 2020. He's not on the ballot.
Right.
So we'll see what happens. But everyone listening needs to explain, when people complain about Connecticut, it is not politicians. Liberals and Democrats have to say, oh, politicians are the problem. It's not in this state. It is the Democrat Party. And frankly, thank God, and Gary, you're going to laugh when I say this, thank God for the Republicans that we at least had a tie in the Senate and were very close over the last 2 years to actually implement some changes that put us on firm ground. Because if the Democrats had complete control in 2016 through 18,
oh, yeah,
I think it would be worse.
That original budget, we talked about that on yesterday's show, where when Doyle, Hartley, and Schlossberg went against their party and the Senate Democrats and did not vote for the Democrat budget, that
it would be even worse.
That threw a whole new can of worms out there, and that's when the bipartisan budget was came to be, you know?
Yeah.
We're going to do it. You wait and see.
JR, thank you as always. You are always a fantastic guest. We love having you on. We want to have you on more often. But we really appreciate you shedding some light on these absentee ballots. And you, because you yourself, you called for it. You know, we've got to do something about making sure that this never happens again going forward in any time.
I agree.
Thanks so much, my friend.
Thank you very much.